This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness radio broadcast. Early on in my ministry, in the 1970s and 80s, the Lord gave me a revelation of the glory of God. It was all-consuming to me for many years. I wrote the book, The Blood and the Glory. Recently, he told me to go back to Collinsville and teach in the place where it originally came, because in these days, the church must don glory.
God wants His temple to be exceeding magnificent of fame, because wherever it goes, people are healed. Wherever it goes, people see the light of God in them and on them. I absolutely cannot buy the theory, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow night, that we're going to be somewhere hiding in a hole when Jesus comes for us. That is not right. We are going to be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory. Things are going to happen in the earth, but there are going to be a people that are the house of God. Hallelujah. Well, 1 Chronicles 28, David showed his son the pattern. Verse 11, the porch and other places. The pattern of the temple. And where did David get it? The pattern, verse 12. And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. The Spirit of God gave him the pattern. And then he gave it to his son Solomon. And Solomon built it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, there came the day. He finished it. Moses finished it according to the pattern. Solomon finished it according to the pattern. The Holy Ghost has been assigned to build the temple according to the pattern. Who's the pattern? Jesus. Change us into the very image of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost is not going to fail. If Moses finished the work and Solomon finished the work, don't you think the Holy Ghost can finish the work? Yes. Now let's turn to 2 Chronicles 5. I told you that. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Verse 2. Then Solomon assembled, and here they've got it translated right. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. This means the Feast of Tabernacles. It's probably October or late September. So they're all gathered there. Verse 11, all of the elders, all of the priests, all of the people, they're over on the hillsides looking down on Mount Moriah. Millions of them. Verse 11, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were of the house, and the singers, all of them. Now there are 24 classes of these Levites, probably 4,000 of them. So there's a bunch of priests there. And the Levites are a different part, but there's 4,000 of them. And the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with shofars. It even came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking Jehovah. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, Hallelujah, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of Jehovah, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Do you think he doesn't want to fill this house with glory? He's going to. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. After Brother Hagin was told to study about glory, he always knew this was a key to it. And ever after, he would never start a meeting without having the people say, For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And sometimes, then he'd take off. And he'd go with the prophet's ministry. He knew it was a key. I remember one night he said, someone needs to write a song about that. But no one ever got it quite right. Bless the Lord. We're going to do it at the end of the service the way they did it. And we've been having some of the most remarkable things happen. Bless the Lord. A key is unity. John 17 is the key. In Jesus' prayer to the glory. If we have a building program here and people start fussing and fighting over it, you'll build an empty shell. Hallelujah. That temple stood 410 years. And then it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And the Jews were carried off into captivity because God told them, you've got to do this thing right. You have to be holy. And it became all mixed up. And it became so that even the priests did terrible things. Things I don't even want to tell you about. And so God took the glory out of the temple. This is something a lot of Christians don't know. I found this when I went among the Jews and studied, and it's as plain as the nose on your face. Ezekiel was a prophet that went with the children of Israel over into Babylonian captivity. And in one time, God took him by the hair of the head and brought him back to Jerusalem and let him see some things. Because when Ezekiel went out with them, the temple was not yet destroyed. And Ezekiel prophesied that it's going to be destroyed, and they didn't like Ezekiel. But then when a runner came one day and said it's been destroyed, then they really liked Ezekiel. And from then on, they honored him. But God took him back to Jerusalem by the hair of the head in vision and let him see the glory depart from the temple. And that's what all that Merkavah, that's what that chariot business is about. The chariot of God came to escort the glory out of the temple. They had moved it in, and now it's going to be moved out. If that Shekinah glory had been there, Nebuchadnezzar could never have destroyed that temple. It had to be taken out, and then it was just a building. And Nebuchadnezzar came. It had not the glory. So you can see that. It's a very interesting study in the book of Ezekiel, but we'll just look at a little bit of it. Chapter 10. God's serious about his glory. Hallelujah. Now, in 10 steps, the glory leaves. And so, chapter 10. Then I looked and beheld in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared over them a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Now, in verse 3, now the cherubim, you know, they're the angels that had the wings over the ark. Now the cherubim, and there's some other cherubim there with this Merkavah, this chariot of God. And they stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub. It went up from the mercy seat. It's been over the mercy seat. It's been over the ark, but it's going up from there. Then the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah, that pillar of fire and cloud, the Shekinah glory that you could see, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with a cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. It's moving out. And it's moved out from the Holy of Holies, and now it's out into the court. Verse 18, Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim. And it finally gets down to, go to chapter 11 and verse 22. Then did the cherubim lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above, and the glory of Jehovah went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain which is on the east side of the city. In 10 steps, the glory gets up from the mercy seat, and the Merkavah, this chariot of God, escorts it. It goes over the threshold, it goes out into the court, and then it goes over to the mountains on the east of the city. What are they? Who knows what they are? Mount of Olives. Then the glory of the Lord goes over to the Mount of Olives, and then it goes up. We could preach on that, but we won't. The glory left, departed. In the second temple, there was never the Shekinah glory. But according to Ezekiel, chapter 40 through 47, it's coming back even to the temple that the Messiah will build. But it's not, had to go, or the temple couldn't have been destroyed. And the glory left. Now the people eventually come out of Babylonian captivity, and they come back. Cyrus the Persian has given them some money, and they built what became the second temple, at least the first phase of the second temple. I used to read Haggai, and I see more about it now than I did. So go to Haggai chapter 2. This is when they're coming back to rebuild it. And the Bible says they're rebuilding it, and some of the older men who had seen the first temple, they wept. And the ones who are building the second temple, they're overjoyed to have a temple. And so the prophet Haggai wants to encourage them. Verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3 of Haggai. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? I used to think it was just the building itself, but now I think it was because it had no glory. It did not have the Shekinah.
We have on CD and DVDs the entire seminar revealing the glory that was held in the Glorious Church Fellowship, Collinsville, Oklahoma, March 2014. You've been listening to an excerpt from it. We'll be glad to send you either set, the DVDs for a special price, $75, the CDs, $55. That's $10 below cost on each item. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 or write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615.